What is one of the most important jobs a president has? I want you to think about that just a little bit. What's one of the most important jobs a president has? I believe that one of the most important jobs a president has is also one of the most important jobs that you will have in life. And it's very important that you make the right choices in this job that each one of us has. One of the things a president has to do even before he gets into office, is he has to choose who will be his advisors. And one of the most important things a president can do is to choose the right advisors, because those advisors in many ways can determine the direction, the purposes, the plans that that president will make. You know, when President Trump, chose who was going to be a Supreme Court justice, no, that wasn't a choice he just made on his own. You know, there were people advising him. There were people helping him. And some of the most, I think one of the most important decisions a president can make is who is going to be his advisors, who are going to be his counselors. You know, it says in Isaiah 30, verse 1, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." I wonder tonight, who are your counselors? You know, obviously the Lord is the one that ought to be our ultimate counselor. The counsels of the Lord shall stand. And His counsels ought to be the ones that we are following in our lives. If you can take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 29. God's counsel, His purposes, His plans, the advice in life He gives. If we will follow His purposes and His plans in life, we never have to worry about the future of the direction that we will be going in. Isaiah 28:29 says, "This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working." You know, do you believe tonight that God is wonderful in counsel? In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it talks about the coming Messiah, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was full of grace and what? And truth. You know, tonight, who are your advisors in life? Who are your counselors? If you had to nail it down, if this person has the most influence on my life, who would that person be? Now, obviously, all of us tonight would want to say God has the most influence in my life. All right, but many times we can determine if God truly has the most influence on our lives by who we listen to. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "Be ye therefore followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." I'd like us to look tonight at God's counsel. First of all, I'd like us to see that God's counsel always leads in a certain direction. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23 and verse 22, we're going to see that God's counsel always leads in a certain direction, and that direction is the way of holiness. It says in verse 22, it says, "But if they had stood in my counsel," All right, these are the prophets of Israel, and it caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Notice that. Here's, you know, verse before says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. And it says, if they would have given God's counsel, if they would have caused them to hear God's words, they should have turned them from their evil way. God's counsel always leads in a certain direction, and that direction is the way of holiness. And the children of Israel, one of the reasons they were in the plight that they were in is because there were many false prophets, there were many people that were giving false counsel. They were claiming it to be the counsel of God. But it was not from God, it was the counsel of men. It was counsel ultimately from the enemy of God, and that is the devil. You know, in one way you can tell if counsel is from God is the direction that it is leading you in. Is it leading you away from sin? Is it leading you to a more separated godly life? Or is it leading you away from the way of holiness? Because God's counsel will always lead in a particular direction. You know, sometimes it's referred to as being old-fashioned. Go to Jeremiah chapter 18. You know, being old-fashioned is not just some term, so to speak, but it really has biblical foundations. Jeremiah 18 and verse 15. Notice what it says here. It says, because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the what? From the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. You think of the plight of our nation today. People are treading in territory that has never been crossed in our nation. The gender confusion, the whole moral revolution, so to speak, in our society. People are departing from the ancient paths. And in many ways, Christians have contributed to the place that our society is in. And I was just thinking about, you know, colleges. Okay, they get accredited. And maybe it's not completely the accreditation, it might be just the leagues that they are in. And so they have to have the same number of women's sports teams as they have as men's sports teams. You know, so we've got to have now women's soccer. And what do they do in women's soccer? They run around in shorts. You know, now we have to have, you know, a women's basketball team. Now we have to have a women's track team. You know, is this really leading to a meek and quiet spirit that God has said we ought to be developing? You know, we need to understand that God's counsel always leads in the way of holiness. It says, let's see here, Jeremiah chapter 6. You might say, well, that's only one verse. Well, go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Well, we shouldn't need more than a verse, really, but Jeremiah chapter 6... and verse number 15, it says here, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. And I think one thing we need to be concerned about in our own lives is when there's things that we'll do now that we would have blushed at 5 or 10 years ago. You know, there's things that people in our society will do today that people 20 years ago, I mean, we only have to say like 20 years ago, we didn't have to say 100 years ago, would blush at, would be embarrassed at. And there's things that Christians will do today that not many years back people would blush at. But notice verse 16, it says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for what? Ask for, let's say it together, the old paths. Where is the what? The good way. And walk therein, and ye shall find what? Rest for your souls. But notice what they said.
excuse me, but they said, we will not walk therein. You know, God has a place of rest for your soul tonight. And are you willing to follow that path? You know, it may be the old path, but it's the path of rest. You know, my faith has found a resting place. You know, obviously it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you have that place of rest, of peace, because you are not fighting God and His way, which is perfect, but you're following His counsel? You know, they ask for the old paths. The God's counsel always leads in a certain direction, and that is the way of holiness. You know, but we'll see here, the devil's counsel makes a mockery of God's counsel. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18. You know, Jeremiah here is prophesying. You know, he's prophesying. He's saying, hey, there's going to be, things are, because my people have, verse 15 says, forgotten me, they have burnt incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. All right, there's going to be, Israel is going to be desolate. I mean, that sounds, now if somebody came here tonight and said, you know what, tomorrow America is going to be bombed by the Chinese and our country is going to be gone. You know, the Midwest, Maquonago is going to be laid flat. You'd think, well, that person's crazy. I mean, maybe some of you wouldn't. I don't know. But, you know, here's Jeremiah talking about the land is going to be desolate. Let's look what's going to happen. I mean, nowadays, oh, yeah, you got the news. You got all some people. There's always people on there saying, you know, crazy things that are going to happen. And so eventually our ears become, you know, I'm not even going to listen to it. But here, notice what the people said about Jeremiah because of their sin. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. So they're making a mockery of his counsel. This isn't going to happen. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 7, you have Jeremiah's temple address. And what are they saying? The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. In other words, you know, we have the temple. We're not going to be coming in and destroyed. How could God come in and how could the temple be destroyed? This is the place of God's worship. And what do? They're making a mockery of Jeremiah. And so in essence, they're taking what he is saying and the words of warning that he is giving and making it meaningless. You know, how often does that take place today? You have a man of God who stands up, who gives the word of God, and people make a mockery of it. You know, like we just talked about, oh, that's old-fashioned. You know, come on, come into the modern days. Oh, how many Christians believe that anymore? And they'll make a mockery of what is biblical truth. And obviously we know the rest of the story. Who is right? Well, Jeremiah was, because he was speaking the counsel of God. So first of all, God's counsel always leads in a certain direction, and that is the way of holiness. Secondly, God's counsel requires a patient, submissive spirit. If you're going to receive God's counsel, there must be a patient and submissive spirit. Let's go to Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verse 13 says, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Notice that. They waited not for his counsel. God's counsel requires a patient spirit. You know, our flesh wants something, and we want it now, and we've got to get it now. The children of Israel, they would want things now. You know, they're thirsty, they want water now, they're hungry, they want food now. They've got to have it right now. You know, we live in the now generation. We've been living in it for a while now, but, you know, we've got to have, I mean, everything's getting faster and faster. You know, you had the drive-through, but now, I mean, you can order before you get to the drive-through. And everything's, you know, what's it going to be pretty soon? You know, Amazon's going to deliver your McDonald's hamburger to your house in their little flying gizmo. Everything's got to be right now. And many times that's the way it is spiritually. We want something now. And why is that? It's because our flesh wants something now. You know, why do we want that food right away many times? Well, we're hungry. You know, your two-year-old, they're hungry. They've got to have their food right now. You know, sometimes maybe it's because we're busy. But here it says, they waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. You know, they didn't have a submissive spirit. They wanted what they wanted now. And if we're going to have God's counsel in our life, we've got to have patience. You know, we can't just rush into doing our plans. We've got to wait for what God wants in His timing. You know, some people in marriage decisions, they want what they want now. And what happens? It ruins their life. God's counsel requires a patient, submissive spirit. Notice if you don't have that, what happens? Verse 15, and He gave them their request, but sent what? Leanness into their soul. You know, we can head headlong in our direction in life, but we're going to have to pay the consequences for following that self-directed way rather than having the patience to follow God's way. Self-directed fleshly counsel brings leanness rather than the abundance of God's blessing. Notice Psalm number 81. You know, it's not that God's trying to stand there saying, no, I don't want you to have that. You know, I want to keep all the good things from you. Just like a parent. You know, a child might think, oh, they're trying to keep something from me that's good. But no, the parent is looking out for the greater good of their child. Psalm 81 verse 9, it says, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Notice, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? And that is what we refuse. And we don't have the patience to wait for God's perfect will for our lives. God's counsel requires a patient, submissive spirit. Thirdly, I'd like to see that God's counsel is seen and understood in the proper setting. Let's go to Psalm number 73. You know, God's counsel doesn't just, so to speak, fall out of the sky and land in an indiscriminate lap. All right, God's counsel is seen and understood in its proper setting. Here in Psalm 73, I mean, many of us, probably everyone, most everyone is familiar with the story of Asaph. And his perspective in life had gotten off. He began to look at the ungodly. He saw them flourishing. And he became envious. He says, I was envious at the foolish, verse 3. All right, but let's go to verse number 17, it says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Now go to verse 24, 21. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So Foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. You know, where did Asaph truly understand the ways of God? When he went into the sanctuary of God. You know, God's counsel is understood in its proper setting. You know, you can go down to, you've probably experienced it on soul winning. You try to get a spiritual truth across sometimes to someone, and they don't get it. There are certain spiritual truths many times are understood in the right context. You know, if people are going to understand who God is, it's many times it's helped when they are in a setting where they are seeing really when they're seeing people live a godly life, it helps them to understand. You know, it says in Matthew 5 that they may see your good works and what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Spiritual truths are understood in the right setting, and God's counsel is seen and understood. Asaph was beginning to look where? He was looking at the foolish. He was looking at the world. He was seeing their prosperity. And he had to get back in the place where he could see and understand things in the right way. Fourthly, I'd like us to see that God's counsel requires a willing and wanting or hungry spirit. All right, God's counsel requires a willing and wanting spirit. Psalm 107. You know, tonight, if you're just waiting for God to hit you over the head with a 2x4, like the old expression says, you know what? You're probably going to miss God's counsel. If you're sitting, how did you come to church tonight? Did you come wanting to get something from God? Did you come with an hunger? The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, it's easy. I know myself. You can just come to church and sit there. But God's counsel requires a willing and wanting or a hungry spirit. Notice what it says here in Psalm 107, verse 9. It says, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor, they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. But God had to bring them to a place where they were willing and they wanted. It says, he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. You know, tonight, do you have that? Do you really want God's ways to be in your life? Do you want his counsel to guide you in every decision that you make? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Here we have, you know, illustration of some that wanted to go their own direction. It says, verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and what? And would none of my reproof. There was not a willing, there was not a hungry spirit. Verse number 30. It says, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. You know, and it says, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. You know, if you're really going to experience God's counsel and his perfect ways and plans and his purposes in your life, you've got to have the right spirit, that willing spirit that wants to be directed in God's ways. Let's go to Daniel chapter 4 as another
Here we really see the humility that is required to understand the ways of God. Daniel 4 is the story of Nebuchadnezzar, how he was sent out to the wilderness. God had to humble him and bring him to the place where he understood that God was the Most High God that setteth up and bringeth down. Daniel 4 and verse 34, it says, "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High God, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." Notice his humility here. You know, before, look at what I've done. And now all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. "And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?" All right, Nebuchadnezzar came to the place where he was humbled. He came to the place where he realized, you know what, no one can say, what is God doing? You know, people in society that negatively ask the question, what are you doing, God? What is it a sign? It's a sign of pride. Nebuchadnezzar came to the place where he was humbled, and he said at the end of his humility, "And none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou?" You know, God's counsels are faithfulness and truth. And we need that willing, that wanting, that hungry, that a humble spirit that realizes our own need of his plans for our lives. And then fifthly, I'd like us to see that God's counsels have a certain end. His counsels have a certain end. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21 talks about the counsel of the Lord shall stand. Proverbs 19:21, it says, "There are many devices in a man's heart." You know, we can have many plans, we can have many purposes, we can have many ideas. You know, there's a lot of people with opinions today. But what does it say? "Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." You know, you can want something to turn out a certain way so badly, and you can go in that direction. But if it's a different direction than God has said to go in, it doesn't matter how you want it to turn out. What God has said is going to take place is going to happen in whatever decision you make. Let's go to Isaiah 25, and I just mentioned the verse, but Isaiah 25 and verse number 1. I guess we could add a Bible sword drill tonight. We're going all over the place, but Isaiah 25, it'll keep you awake, right? Isaiah 25 and verse 1 says, "O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." Notice that. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness. You know, what God has said has a certain and expected end. We never have to worry about what is going to happen when we are following God's plans and God's purposes for our life. They have a certain end. You know, you can get your direction from the wrong source, but it too will have an end. If you go to a few pages over, Isaiah 47, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it."
Now you can choose those you're going to listen to, but you will have an expected end as well. But it will not be the end that you want if it is opposite of the counsel that God is giving. If you could please turn to Psalm number 33. So we see that God's counsels have a certain end. You know, and that end is a good end. Psalm 33:11 says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." Then notice verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. You know, what a blessing tonight that we can base our lives on God's Word. And, I mean, you think of your family tonight, and if you didn't have God's Word, where would it be? You know, it's not anything that, because of us. It's because of the plan of God. And what a blessing that should be to our lives, that we can have God's truth. You know, in a world that makes fun, pokes fun, thinks it's crazy. You know, I remember listening when Mike Huckabee was running for president. I think it was still the primary. He never made it past the primaries. But they asked him, you know, something about, well, do you believe a wife should, you know, submit to her husband? And, you know, the world pokes fun at biblical truth. You know, and I think he gave a pretty good answer. And he said, you know what, it's not a 50-50, it's a 100%, 100% relationship. Each one, and he didn't, you know, deny the fact, I think, thankfully, that, you know, but, you know, the Bible has proper roles. And God's counsels are perfect. How he says things should happen are the best way they can happen. And not something that we have to be ashamed of. You know, God wants us to live a certain way. God wants us to act a certain way in our families. God wants us to show love. He's demonstrated that love. God wants us to, you know, have the proper roles in our homes. And why is that? When we do that, it gives him glory, showing that, you know what, God's way is the best way. And he loves us. And wants what is best for us. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. But notice the opposite here, verse 10. It says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, to nothing. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect." Now, whose counsel tonight are you following? You know, are you more interested in likes on Facebook or in facing the book?
Right.
You know, what are you really interested in tonight? You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Doesn't matter if it's popular or it's not popular. It's important that the word of God is preached because the counsel of the Lord, it shall stand. You know, in Psalm 1 and verse 2, Psalm 1, the first, you know, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the" what? "The counsel of the ungodly." But what's the opposite? Verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." You know, tonight we need to be in God's word, getting his counsel. We need to make sure that we are hearing the word of God as it is preached. It may not be popular, but that's what the Bible says. Preach the word in season and out of season. You know, the counsel that you follow tonight will have an end. And we need to understand that, but we need to realize, you know, Psalm 34 and verse 7, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would help us. Lord, we are a needy people. Lord, it's so easy to follow our flesh, to follow our own feelings, to, Lord, give in to our own desires. But yet, Lord, we know that you desire the best for us. And Lord, you have perfect plan and purpose for each one of our lives. And yet, the devil is seeking to destroy that. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would open up each one of our eyes to see, Lord, who we are truly following in our lives. Lord, I pray tonight that we would have that humility that Nebuchadnezzar had. And Lord, it wouldn't take such a huge, shocking experience to bring us to that humility, so that we can recognize that your counsels stand. Lord, I pray tonight that you would work in our hearts. And Lord, you would help us to see the greatness, the wonderful, how wonderful, Lord, your counsels are. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, first of all, the question is, are you saved? You know, God's perfect plan for your life begins at salvation. How many would say tonight, you know what, Pastor John, I don't know for sure that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Anyone like that tonight would say, you know what, that's the need of my heart tonight. Then tonight, you know, who are you listening to? You know, have you gotten away from the old paths? Have you begun listening to people and they're leading you away from the way of godliness? You know, and that shame that maybe once you had in your life about certain things, you just don't blush anymore about that. You know, or maybe it's just, you know, you say, you know what? I recognize I don't have that willing, submissive spirit. Maybe it's patience, and it's so easy just to jump ahead into what we want for our lives instead of waiting for God's perfect plan to be fulfilled in our lives. You know, tonight, I want to ask for a raise of hands, but maybe the Lord's working in your life. And why don't you settle that with the Lord tonight, so that His counsels, you know, who are you listening to tonight? You know, maybe your devotions have gotten dry. And, you know, if you would really get in the Word of God and really seek His face, it would protect you and guard you from the counsel of the ungodly. Maybe you need to recognize tonight, you know what? Sometimes there's some things that are said that are so counter to this culture that it's hard to take them. But you need to realize, you know what the Bible says, to preach the Word. And God's counsel is what's going to stand. And we need to be willing to really live by the book. May you allow God to work in your life as He would see fit. Lord, we just pray that you would help us tonight to respond to your Word in a way that would be honoring and pleasing to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.